Because the state of Kansas was only paying me $1.10 an hour in 1975.
No, no, wait a minute. I see. So, yeah, $1.15 in 68. Well, you need to contact your former employer, and I think you have an extra 78 cents coming
your way. State of Kansas?
Yeah, absolutely. You might want to call. I would go directly to the governor on this one. You need to call Sam Brown back.
By the way, Ben, do you know what the difference is between standard of living and lifestyle is?
It all depends on which bar you spend your money at. It's 1 o'clock in the morning right here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City. No, I don't. You explain it to me.
Standard of living is the ratio between the average cost of goods and services as opposed to the average wages and salary. The more narrow that gap is, the more narrow that ratio is, the higher standard of living you have. Okay, that's why $1 an hour back then afforded me lots of stuff. But nowadays it wouldn't.
Right. So that's why back then you making minimum wage could afford to buy an Olds Record, but now you'd have to shop at the Dollar Tree, the Dollar General.
Oh, yeah, and it got me my first car, $900.
Right, there you go. Which is probably, I mean, $900 was a nice amount of money to pay for a car back then, probably, too.
Yeah, that was a lot of money. But like I said, you could afford stuff back then. Even up into the early 80s, you could have lived easily on low money.
And what happened in the 80s? Deindustrialization. Huh? Deindustrialization was the beginning of this. Globalization.
Corporatism.
Right. Well, that's the same thing. I mean, it's what we're talking about. When they started shipping, manufacturing jobs and other things overseas. What we got in return was a bunch of, disposable plastic junk from China.
Right.
And it's not coming back either, I would not imagine.
No. In fact, I saw a really interesting documentary on PBS over the weekend. It was an independent lens documentary. And it was on drugs, but what they got to towards the end of it was figuring out that there was virtually, because of the wiping out of the manufacturing base, there was a whole class of people that were now pretty much useless to our society.
Sure, they still are.
Because there's no real jobs like there used to be for people right out of high school with no education that could get a job with a living wage like in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The idea that you could work somewhere for 30 years, show up every day, do a good job, and then retire with some sort of a pension, and in that time have purchased a house and raised a family and all these other things, that is gone.
That's gone, yes.
Completely gone.
Their conclusion was that, what are you going to do with these people that you have no use for? Well, you put them in prison.
Well, and you make some money doing that,
and,
too.
And warehouse them.
Right, and you make money doing that, because a lot of the prisons have become privatized.
No, they did talk about that, the private prisons and the industry that's built up around that.
It's a business model.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, literally, if you look at Detroit as an example, or the Rust Belt of this country as an example, and you go, what kind of jobs will these people have who have no education and very little opportunity outside of, I mean, they have drugs. They can sell drugs, or they can become inmates.
Right.
Or they can, be bullet catchers for various local gangs. That's about it. You can sell drugs. You can go to prison. You can catch bullets. But I appreciate your phone call, my friend. Thanks for the info, and I'll be betting on your
At some point, are you
going
to tell us the answer to your question?
Absolutely, I will. I want to give some other people an opportunity to chime in.
Well,
keep listening.
All right, take care. No, before you answer, Jake, I'm gonna let there's somebody else on. Let's see if they're still there and they want to answer. Oh, they're gone. So close. 816-931-5534. 931-KKFI. What was the missing ingredient at the fair wage protest?
I've got another guess.
All right, what is it?
A Facebook page or a Twitter handle?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, a Twitter handle. I can't handle all this Twittering going on. A Facebook page? I'm sure there is one. Did you check?
No.
I mean, I'm sure there was a Twitter handle. I don't think that would be something lacking. And why do you think I would think that would be something that they would need? I mean, if you had thought that one out for more than 38 seconds or something. 816-931-5534, 931-KKFI. You can email Paragon Radio. I think somebody did email. Oh. Ah. William thought it could have been the missing ingredient was an iconic figure such as Ronald McDonald or the Hamburglar.
Lots of more people are shaped like Grimace these days. That would have been
but, you know, shaped like Grimace but acting like the Hamburglar.
Right.
You know, it's a hybrid between the two. Where have all those creatures gone?
The Fry Guys?
Fry Girls. I think I'm pretty sure that, yeah, you're looking all funny over there. Those were ladies, Jake.
I think they were Fry Kids.
Now you're just changing the subject. Now it's the Fry Girls. Look at all this important stuff up. I'm on the U.S. Department of Labor's website looking at the historical minimum wage, and now I'm going to determine whether or not they were Fry Girls or Fry Guys. Yeah, Fry Girls, McDonald's. Fry Girl Donuts.
Yeah, weren't they pom-poms or something?
Yeah, now it's all coming back to you, isn't it?
Yeah.
They got the Fry Guys Safe Ride. Yeah, they... What are those things? Yeah, and then there was the chick, too. The Fry Girls.
Morning Bird.
Was that her name? Yeah, I don't even remember.
Something Bird.
People are shaped like Grimace. That dude's... It's a strange picture. All right, let's go back to the radio show. 816-931-5534. Anybody, as to why... The fair wage protest that took place, why it'll just not work. Can't believe nobody's calling in to take a shot at this. We want to start out with easier questions. Maybe we should start out with easier questions. Will the... No, what's an easier question? It's got to be a softball, just something to get people going. How many letters are in the alphabet?
46.
I don't know. It's for people to call in, Jake. Oh. I know you know the answer to the question. 816-931-5534. It's 7 minutes after the hour of one, right here on Community Radio in the 21st century. You can also go to paragonradio.blogspot.com or paragonradio@gmail.com and send an email. I really should get rid of that Gmail account, just as a matter of protest. But then I'd also have to get, you know what I mean? I really should. But then I'd have to get rid of the blog spot, too. Which is having a blog, is that like having a MySpace page these days? A little ridiculous, isn't it?
It all is.
Good morning, you're on the radio. What's the answer to the question?
White people.
No, there were plenty of white people there.
Oh. Okay.
Okay. There were plenty of white people there. But he's getting close. He's not far off. Good morning, you're on the radio. What's the answer to the question? Hello?
Who?
Who? You, sir. You're on the radio.
Who?
What's
who?
Oh, God. Dave, you had too much of your sweet wine tonight? What's the answer?
Have you seen the...
Hold on. Have you been... Did you just call the station randomly, or did you...
No.
Okay. What's the answer to the question, Dave?
What is the question? What was missing?
Yes, what was the missing ingredient at the fair wage rally that took place in Kansas City on Monday and Tuesday?
Public support.
Okay. Oh, my God, what is going on back there? Good morning, you're on the radio. A weird sound back there. That is the NSA calling. Public support, is that all you got?
I have no idea.
All right.
Water cannons, riot police.
Oh, water cannon would have been awesome.
That's a good guess, Jake.
Or even better than a Even better than a water cannon. What about a T-shirt cannon?
Maybe helicopter police.
Drones,
yeah. I have no idea.
All right, well, thanks for trying, Dave. We really appreciate it. We absolutely do. 816-931-5534. 931-KKFI. Somebody just put an improvised explosive device out in front of the door of the radio station. Would you go down and check it?
Really?
I mean, you know, between... somebody's calling on a payphone now. They're definitely going to know. Where is a payphone, by the way?
I've seen one up north just the other day.
Hey, where is this payphone you call from?
Hello?
Hello? Good morning. You're on the radio.
Yeah, yeah. I just wanted to answer the question.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you.
I think that it's... I'd never heard anybody mention anything about the migrant workers.
Oh, my God. He got it. Ding, 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 ding. Yes, the Mexicans were not there.
Absolutely.
That's absolutely right. Well, you win the prize, man. You can come down and pick it up anytime.
Cool. Where are you at?
3901 Main.
3901 Main?
Yeah.
Now, what was the prize? I just caught the probably just the tail end of your conversation here, the last 3 minutes or so.
You get a 4th of July 1776 Freedom Rocks glass.
But you have to come, sweet.
Yeah, you'll have to come pick it up next week. I actually didn't bring it tonight.
Okay, and what's the what was the address again?
3901 Main. So
3901 Main. Hey, I got to tell you, man, I'm actually calling you from work release. I caught a DUI, and I'm doing my my backup time from work release, man. And all we're allowed to have is radios. And you know, I never listen to the radio hardly ever. So, but you guys, I listen to you guys quite a bit. You know, kind of kills the time at nights, man. So there's a couple other guys here that listen to you too. You know, so.
Well, I mean. I've always said that, you know, most of our audience is captive, i.e. they're in prison. So work release is pretty close, isn't it?
Right. It is. It's not quite prison. It's kind of a, you know, it's obviously, it's much better. I mean, I'm only doing a couple months, but,
what's your job?
Radio stations that I've never, entertained before, man. So.
What's your job while you're work releasing?
What's that?
What's your job?
I'm actually a waiter. I work at Mimi's on 95th Street. Over in Oakland Park, so.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, so, yeah, I'm just doing, just waiting tables right now, man. I'm actually working on my MBA right now. Well, I was, but that's put on hold for, you know, until I get out of here. So once I get out, then I'm going to start back up in school in January, so.
All right, cool, man. Well, good luck with all that.
Okay, good. Hey, thanks a lot, man. I'll come to pick up. What was that address again? I didn't have a pin.
3901 Main Street.
3901 Main? Cool, man. Hey, thanks a lot, guy.
Say hi to the Mexicans for me.
All right.
Bye-bye. So that, yeah, I mean, now do you feel a little stupid, Jake?
Ay, caramba.
Yeah, that's right. That's why it won't work, because after we rode by the big protest they were having at Gillum Park, we went by 5 or 6 different fast food restaurants that seemed to be doing a hopping business, because there were not, I didn't see, and I was looking, I was like, you know, if there's no Mexicans down here, and they don't have to just be Mexicans, if there's no amigos from south of the border, and it's not going to matter. I mean, hell, if all those people that walked out lose their jobs, and then, you know, Whack Arnold's and, you know, the King of Boogers and all that other stuff is rocking only migrant workers, then they're not even going to have to pay minimum wage anymore. They're going to go below minimum wage. That's kind of amazing to get in a work release program where you have to be a waiter. Oh, what do you think would be worse, Jake? Just time in prison or working at a 24-hour place in Overland Park as a waiter?
Man,
I mean, I'm with you, brother.
That's a tough one.
Make sure we have that rocks glass for you next week. I might even put something in it for you. Well, that might be a bad idea. Well, if you're riding the bus or something like that. All right, so 15 minutes after the hour of one, and I hope everyone feels a little ridiculous now, because that's why it won't work. It doesn't matter. I mean, that's why, you know, I watched half of it because it just got stupid in the end. This movie called Detropia, which is about, it was a play on words of Detroit and dystopia. Detropia. And, you know, I thought it would be mostly footage of how the city had fallen apart, et cetera, because I'm fascinated by that. I mean, Detroit, you know, 60 years ago, was the model city in America. I mean, it really was. And it's built huge, too. I mean, it's built as a huge city, and now it's, I mean, most of it's abandoned. I mean, the city used to have 2 million people living there, and now they have, like, 750,000. It's pretty amazing.
That's Exodus.
You just kind of have this, they've lost over 50% of their manufacturing jobs in the last 10 years. But you talk to some of the people there, and they're like, oh, it'll come back. Yeah, it'll come back. I know it will. It'll come back. And you're just like, no, it's not. I'm sorry, it's not coming back. There's no reason for it to come back. And they're talking to this one guy, and he's like, yeah, America used to make everything. We used to make washing machines. I don't know why he went straight to washing machines. And I think washing machines are something that's still generally manufactured in America, but none of the parts are made here. And the final assembly is probably in America for tax reasons, but none of the parts are necessarily made here anymore. But it's just like, and I got to thinking, I was like, all right, buddy, you're all pro-union, you're all this and that. If you wanted to wash, I mean, how much does a brand new washing machine cost anyway?
I don't think I've ever purchased one.
I've never purchased a brand new one either. I've always purchased an old one. And then I've fixed it. My mom was about to buy a brand new washing machine, I think 2 weeks ago, because it stopped working mid-cycle. I'm like, don't buy a new one. I'll fix it.
Right.
And the part was $23. And I fixed it. Do I know how to fix washing machines? No. But you know who does? YouTube does.
Yep.
YouTube knows how to fix washing machines. That's been the grand equalizer. You know, the internet's not all bad. And YouTube does have its purpose to a certain degree. Hey, that improvised explosive device that guy dropped off, it's smoking a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, take a cup of water down there. And I'm just joking, Jake. Just goofy to watch people pull up and then get out and just go drop stuff off in front of the radio station. No, it's gone. Yeah, there's no smoke. I was just joking. Sit back down. It's just funny to me to watch that happen. But, you know, if a new washing machine, a cheap one, it's got to be like $800. Maybe we could find this out. Let's go to Sears. Find out how much a washing machine is.
You driving or am I...
No, we're gonna use the information superhighway.
Oh. Virtual Sears.
Sears repair. No, I don't want to repair. Dr. Sears. No, I've done that enough. Dr. Sears is different than Sears the store. Official sites. Let's just see how much a cheapo Warshin machine is. Come on, buddy. Come on, Sears, you don't want my pretend business right now? Because it's got to be a pretty penny. I mean, there's no joke that talking $500-$600 at the bare minimum. I'm thinking more like $800. And then if you want to get a nice one, oh, look at that. Apparently you get a washing machine for $400.
That's $399 at Lowe's.
Who would have thought? Well, if you want to get one of those nice ones, we're getting closer to
$750,
$1,000. Well, this one is marked down, too. So it was originally $529. It's marked down to $399. So let's say $400 for a brand new washing machine. If you subtract globalization from that equation and you unionize the workforce, what are we talking about now? I mean, that $500 washing machine, that $400 washing machine, you got to tack on $5,000. I mean, you got to double it, maybe. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be a significantly higher amount. But the other side to that is you might get a much more quality product, right? That's possible as well.
It's possible.
Very possible. You'd like to think it's possible anyway. Because I don't know if America buying washing machines will save the world. And another thing that they are, America making washing machines will necessarily save the world. And another thing they kept harping on in this movie, Dystropia, or Detropia, was that during World War II, Detroit had made all the weapons of war for World War II. And had literally saved the world from Nazism and Japanese fascism and militarism. But there's an irony there, isn't there? Because it was World War II that kind of ended America, as a republic anyway. A bit of an irony there. But none of those jobs are coming back. And you just have to accept that. And if you can, move on. Move on and do what? I don't know. Because what is there for people who have no education, no mobility? What is there for them to do on their own? I mean, pull their pro wings up by the Velcro straps? I mean, I don't know. What are you supposed to do?
Fast food.
Fast food, right.
Walmart.
But you can't work at fast food and take care of a family, right? I mean, that's the whole deal, and I think that there's a certain reality in that. If you're a man, you have children, if you can't afford to take care of them, if your job doesn't afford you the amount of money to take care of them, that puts stress on you. Maybe you drink more than you should, maybe you use drugs, maybe you just leave. Because it's not happy. It's difficult being there and doing that. I think that's a reality. I think that was... You could probably look at the breakdown of the American family and trace that to deindustrialization. Because generally what we're talking about, the people that have the most amount of children are the people who apparently don't understand how that ultimately works, how that whole copulation thing plays out. And if you have very little resource and very little mobility, and you're kind of stuck making a small amount of money, and everything's a struggle, that makes it a lot easier to give up, doesn't it?
Or join the army.
Which you're not advocating people join the army again, are you, Jake?
No.
You always make me uncomfortable when you start doing that. I think there's a serious and a strong connection there. But what is there for these people to do? What, I mean, they literally had in this movie, I keep talking about this movie and I didn't like it that much, they had these guys who had pickup trucks and were deconstructing these buildings. And they were going in, and this is like the middle of winter too, and they set these huge fires and they worked all night. And they were ripping these buildings apart for scrap metal. And they were getting like 15 cents a pound for the steel, for these buildings. They were literally tying chains to the backs of their pickup trucks and then driving forward and ripping the building down one girder at a time. And all these huge industrial, you know, warehouse facilities and various other buildings that have fallen into disrepair that nobody owns. The city has them in their land bank or whatever. And they were like, yeah, the cops come up. And they harass us a little bit. But since we're not stealing anything, they leave us alone. And I'm going, hey, you guys are stealing a freaking building. But at the same time, I guess it's not like stealing, is it? When nobody owns it, nobody wants it, and you're ultimately doing a favor to the city, because that's all this. They were also talking to a guy who spends all day, every day, he said.
That would be a good name for that activity, is stealing with two E's.
So you kind of imply wheeling a little bit or something like that?
No, they're taking the steel out of the place, right?
Oh, yeah.
They're stealing the building.
But it's pretty amazing to watch these guys do this. And then they're like musing as to where it goes. And I know where it goes. Where all the scrap metal that they pull out of these buildings, where it ultimately ends up. You know too, don't you, Jake?
China?
Yeah, China. And then they're going to send that junk back over here? Will it be in the form of consumer goods or in, you know, military?
Or formula?
Right. I don't care how rough times are. Go find something else to milk. Do not feed your children formula from China, for the love of God. But will it come back in the form of, you know, consumables or, you know, ships of war?
Yeah, bullets.
All right, it's 25 minutes after the hour of 1-816-931-5534. That's 931-KKFI. You are on the radio.
Oh, this is Russ checking in.
Good morning, Russ.
Hey, I was going to chime in on the minimum wage argument. You know, when I got out of high school, my first job was working at fast food, and I was paid $2.02 an hour. And within 3 years, I was a night manager, making way more than that. I think the argument is spurious at best, in the sense that you have a bunch of civil rights activists that have not created any jobs themselves. They've never run businesses, you know, trying to gin up something. You know, I was reading an article by, I was reading an article by Al Sharpton talking about, he was making a comparison between, you know, somebody that should be making a livable wage with the CEO of one of the fast food restaurants. And I'm like, no, hold on a second. You know, how can you make a comparison between someone that says, you know, that might be 18 years old, and a CEO of a corporation that maybe has spent 30 years in the corporation, has a master's degree in business, and you're trying to make that comparison?
Why do you spend so much time reading crap? You're reading Huffington Post and Al Sharpton all the time. What's the deal?
Well, you know, it's entertaining. Well, they've got tech on there, too. There's some text. There's a tech article,
hey,
science articles, and so forth.
Hey, don't defend your Huffington Post fascination with me. Everyone that knows you, Russ, knows why you do it. You do it to troll.
No, there you go. I think I have been booted off there because I called Robert Reich a rich Jew, and that's why I got kicked off. Somebody, one of the moderators sent me an email, a quick message saying you need to back off that statement. And I'm like, why? He is rich and he is a Jew, and I actually got my account terminated for saying that.
Wow.
I mean, Robert Reich is worth, I don't know, $several million. That's rich to me.
Well, you know, maybe not to the people at Huffington Post. Maybe you should have, next time, write he's a rich Jewish person.
There you go. Maybe that's what I should have said.
Yeah, now when you refer to somebody as being a Jew or a black or a gay or a whatever, and it's not a prefix for a person, then it turns into a problem. But what I was going to say was this, is that, is it then fair that people who work for, you know, Whack Arnold's and Walmart's that don't get paid a living wage, that they go on state assistance? I mean, is that, should the taxpayers be subsidizing Walmart's and Whack Arnold's?
I understand that argument, but the question is...
No, the question is that fair? That Walmart's...
Well, life's not fair. I mean...
No. I'm not talking...
Name me a fair society.
Russ, we're not talking about, is it fair to the worker? We're saying, is it fair that Walmart's and McDonald's, especially Walmart's being a very good example of this because their ability to destroy local economies or monopolize them, is it fair that then they get a, you know, wreak all these benefits of profits and then subsidies... On top of that, I would say, ultimately, that's not fair.
Well, the counter argument to that is that you have people talking about food deserts, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, how are you going to entice a business to move into a not so nice area where they, you know, I was reading about a company in Detroit, for example,
Walmart,
that makes LED light bulbs. They still make LED light bulbs in some place close to downtown Detroit. And the guy was like, we've had to double our security here because somebody tried taking our aluminum fence down.
Yeah,
and he goes, I'm thinking about moving to the suburbs. He's like, I just can't afford it here. And they've doubled the business taxes.
Yeah, I saw the video of those guys trying to take that fence down.
Well, I'm just saying that, you know, on the one hand, you argue, It's like the living wage thing that was passed. Where was that at? It wasn't Chicago. Maybe it was Chicago. And Walmart said, "Well, okay, we're not going to move it there. We're not going to build any centers there to employ anybody." So the question is, how do you get some company to move into an area that's not so savory?
I'm pretty sure, where are the Walmarts in the metro? I can't think of a Walmart in the hood. There used to be a Walmart in the hood. It was called Hypermart, and now that's gone.
Yeah, because there was high crime in the area. They had to increase the security.
You do realize that the Walmart parking lots, no matter where they are one of the highest crime areas in any community. Do you know why?
Because it's easy to steal stuff. I don't know why. Because it's a big place to meet. I don't know.
Because have you ever been inside of a Walmart? Those people have to go back outside at some point.
Well, that's true. In the Walmarts I go to, they have somebody driving around in their Walmart, their little security van.
Yeah, we all know how effective that is at deterring crime, and I mean.
Well, I'm just saying that you can talk about subsidies to business, but Airbus gets subsidized from the European Union. It just seems like people want their cake and ice cream. Why not make the living wage $50 an hour?
Right, but you realize why, and Boeing gets subsidized by the U.S. government too, I'm sure. I mean, I'm going to go with.
Well, yeah, they do. They do get subsidized.
Right,
so they get subsidized by the state governments too.
Right, exactly. And, the difference being is that, and I'm not making an argument for militarism, but Boeing is an important part of the nation's defense. Airbus would be an important part of the European Union's defense, the ability to be able to produce aircraft, et cetera, on a very base level. Now, I don't know that Walmart's is an important part of America's defense. I don't know that McDonald's is an important part of America's defense.
Who was that that tried to say that McDonald's making a Big Mac was akin to an industrial job? Was that, well, that wasn't Robert Rice, was it?
Nah,
I don't think it was him.
You mean that rich Jewish guy?
Yeah, him.
No,
you remember that? You remember that when they were trying to add that, say that it was a manufacturing job?
It is a manufacturing job these days.
Just make a Big Mac.
Hey, ketchup is a vegetable, bro.
That's true.
Yeah, Big Macs are a manufacturing job.
Well, no, what I'm trying to say is I think that most people don't have any grasp of, for example, you're talking about the protest earlier downtown here. I'd like to personally have had a survey done. How many of those people down there had smartphones?
Okay.
I mean, I don't have a smartphone. I could afford one. I don't see wasting an extra $40 a month. And I just wonder how many of them have smartphones. It just seems kind of ridiculous to me that someone's going to be working as a cashier at McDonald's for 30 years. I'm just not buying that argument that somebody's going to be stuck in that same position for like three decades.
Yeah, but the reality is, though, Russ, you start looking around, you look at the fact that Detroit, which is, Kansas City has a little miniature, it has a couple of mini Detroits spread throughout it. One of them would be the East Bottoms. One of them would be the old Bannister Mall complex. You put those two areas together, and you have a little mini Detroit. I mean, I don't know when the last time you were out at Bannister Mall. Literally all there is left is a recycling center and a Burlington coat factory. That's the only manufacturing.
Well, there's a,
manufacturing job left in the Bannister Mall area is Burlington Coat Factory. That's the only thing they still make out there.
Well, actually, there's a new proposal. You have to look it up in the company. There's a proposal to
put an office park out there.
Yeah, office complex or something. But
No, I know.
No,
and Cerner wants to build it out there. But my point here is this, is that you can see that, but then you go, what are people who would normally do these low-skilled, menial-wage jobs going to do in the future? Because we, if anything, have more of these people than we did however long ago.
See,
and then you have pressure put on... I'm not saying that it's necessarily a corporation's responsibility or a government's responsibility to figure this out. I'm just saying, what is going to happen to these folks? just thinking about it in a very direct way, what is going to happen to them? They're either going to sell drugs, go to for-profit prisons, or catch bullets. There's three options there. Or work at McDonald's off and on and bounce around between those jobs, because chances are, if you're making minimum wage, you have no loyalty to that job. You don't care. You get paid one day, rent's paid, you got a big old, you know, bag of whatever in your pocket, and you're done. You're done working for a couple of weeks. You know?
Well, you know, I could see what I, you know, there are some hamburger places that pay like $12 an hour, but that's beside the point. But what I could see is if that happened, if it was, say, at $15 or $20, that, you know, McDonald's might have to start instituting some kind of test. Because, you know, like, you know, you would have people moving out of other places trying to get the $15 to $20 jobs. So McDonald's would have a deluge of people. Well, maybe they would have some kind of test, you know, and all of a sudden you might have some kind of, oh, this, you know, we're not getting the right politically correct results on our test.
Well, I don't know about that. It's not going to happen. There's no foreseeable future that people in a place like Kansas. Somebody that works at McDonald's make that works in Manhattan? What does a Manhattan McDonald's employee make? I doubt they make.
Well, the ones in North Dakota make about $12 an hour.
Why is that?
Because of the oil boom.
Oh, because there's nobody to work there, right?
Yeah, you know, there's I was listening to a business show the other day, and they were talking about people out of high school are going right into the oil fields making $80,000 a year.
Right.
So, you know, so I look at it, what we talked about before is we need to have a new social contract.
You do realize that would be a hard $80,000, though. That's not an easy $80,000 a year.
Well, it beats saying you want fries at that hamburger, doesn't it?
No, I don't. I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's hard work. That and good luck finding a place to live up there.
No, I think what's going to have to happen is that, yeah, we're heading into the future where there's going to be like 80% of people that are, you know, job insecure, if you want to use that term, which means that the United States is no longer going to be able to afford to have 140 bases overseas. We're not going to be able to afford to feed 50 million people overseas. We're not going to be able to afford to have $50 billion in, foreign aid. Those things are going to have to stop.
Yeah, maybe
we're going to have a system here where.
But you realize that subsidizing agriculture is a pretty big part of the economy, and that's how we afford to feed so many people.
I understand that, but what I'm talking.
And military bases are another pretty big part of our economy.
Well, no, I understand that too, but what I'm saying is that there's going to have to be a way. That as more and more things get automated, you know, whatever, that some of that, you know, efficiency is going to have to go into some kind of rebate for people to buy things with. I mean, that's basically what the earned income tax credit is.
Right.
So, you know, yeah, there's going to have to be some changes made, but I don't know whether a $15 minimum wage is going to be the panacea that some people think it's going to be.
Maybe we should have a maximum wage for some of the profits down the ladder.
Well, you know, Ben and Jerry's, you were talking about Al Sharpton's fascinating article just a while back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ben and Jerry's had a program, the ice cream people, where they were going to pay their CEO 10 times what the average line worker was made, the guy wrapping the plastic around the little Ben and Jerry's, you know, whatever,
right.
The low-end guy. They couldn't keep a CEO that was worth anything. It's kind of interesting that literally, that was not enough money to keep a CEO that was capable of running the company in a positive direction. And I kind of understand that.
Well, you know, before I go here, you know, we already have a system here where we have millions of people that are either retired on Social Security or they're unable to work for whatever reason. We're, you know, the society here, we're already carrying millions of people that basically their only job is to consume, which keeps the rest of the people employed.
Right.
And, I, you know, that's just going to be the future.
Oh, it's the present as well.
Well, exactly. And it's just, you know, I've seen plans for fast food restaurants where it's just run by machines. They could all be replaced.
Yeah, little trains bringing the burgers to your tables. All right, Russ. We always appreciate your phone call, sir. You take care and have a great day.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, it's 1:39 in the a.m. You're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI. I'm Benjamin. Jake's in the on-air studio. Michael T. is taking a nap right now, but he's supposed to wake up later. And why the hell not? Let's take another phone call. 816-931-5534. It's 931-KKFI. Let's go right back to it. Oh, come on, buddy. Good morning. You're on the radio.
Yeah, is this Ben?
It sure is.
Hey. I don't usually ever listen to your show. I just happen to be up late for whatever reasons. But this is a very interesting conversation because the previous caller made a good point. There's going to eventually have to be some sort of new social contract, you know, for people to get by.
Right.
But also, this is a conversation me and my friends have often also because we are experiencing, with just the global economy, everything's going through an incredible change that we cannot stop, no matter how much we want to. And, you know, it's just like we really don't know where it's going to end up. And I'm not a pessimistic person, but it's just going to have to really play itself out, unfortunately. We can try to control it all we want, and that's not a bad thing to try to do.
Well,
you know, try to compensate for.
We're just going to end up with a lot of gammas and epsilons. You know what I mean? It's a brave new world is where we're at. I mean, and that's really, there's no way, I mean, you can't, it's not a sustainable social model to go, the new employers of the future are, you know, or the present. I mean, this has been this way for almost 40 years now in some parts of the country where, you know, crack cocaine has been the only hiring business opportunity that anyone's had access to. And now in, you know, the last, you know, 25, 30 years, you have private prisons and people can go, you know, spend their life at, you know, the Department of Corrections, you know, permanent resort, or you can just get killed. I mean, this is literally the future for so many people who would have had an out. And, it's the way things have changed, no doubt. How will things play out? They're just going to result in more, you know, centralized, top-down control over society is all that's going to happen. And that's what we're seeing take place right now.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah, that makes sense. But it is,
so tyranny is what we have to look forward to.
Yeah, well,
isn't that exciting?
I mean, to put it out there, I mean, I've got an associate's degree and additional college to that, and I'm not making much more than that $15 an hour that they're talking about wanting as a minimum wage. You know, so, and I don't feel that I'm really being ripped off, but then again, maybe I'm just being fooled, who knows. But what they require of us in a work environment that I'm in is a substantial amount of, you know, knowledge and just effort that not everybody in society is going to be able to achieve that. It's just not going to happen. There's just the majority of people aren't going to be able to work at that level. And like you said, with those jobs not existing anymore, what are you going to do? It's really an odd question. I mean, I think it's an interesting conversation you guys are having. And like I said, I don't know what you guys usually talk about on the show, but it's good.
We usually talk about Bigfoot and aliens, but, you know, we've taken a departure for this evening, only this evening. Next week, everyone, we'll be back to Sasquatch.
Well, not to get off on any other kind of tangent, but the thing about the U.S. economy, I heard an interesting thing the other day. In fact, it was on KKFI. They had some economist on from UMKC, and she was talking about how in the U.S. that we have control over our monetary policy and so we can just create money out of thin air. And somehow that's going to keep us a little bit ahead of the game as far as the rest of the world because we control our money supply as far as being able to make it. So, well, I guess China's doing the same thing. So,
well, China still needs to have American dollars to purchase oil. And when places like China and India and other developing parts of the world no longer need to have American dollars to purchase oil, that's when it will all fall apart. But until that time, gung-ho America, God bless it.
All right, well, that's my 2 cents, Dan.
All right, take care and have a great day.
Good show, though.
All right, bye-bye. 816-931-5534. And that's absolutely true. That's why the American dollar is not completely and totally bottomed out. The value of it, the purchasing power of it, has diminished dramatically over the last 100 years. And well, we're not even quite to a 100 years. The Federal Reserve Act was passed in, I believe, December of 1913. So we're not quite to the 100-year anniversary of the Federal Reserve, but the purchasing power of the dollar has declined dramatically because the amount of money in circulation has been inflated way beyond the amount needed for the economy. And that's an interesting thing to think about. Good morning. You are now on the radio. Good morning.
Hello?
Yep, it's you.
Thank you, sir. Is this Benjamin?
Yep, it sure is.
First of all, I'd just like to say... I'm a long-time listener. I'm a big fan.
Cool, man.
I guess I've listened to a lot of programs that you've had to say and you know, a lot of stuff. Some of your 9/11 topics are some of my favorites. I've listened to a lot of your different things about... I'm sorry, I'm kind of getting a little bit nervous.
Yeah, don't be.
Part of the reason...
It's just me and you right now.
All right, thank you. But part of the reason why I kind of felt obligated to call in when, of all the different times I've gotten to listen to you, was your sarcasm. And I just, you know, I kind of felt weird about that. So I just kind of... Shoot, now I'm kind of stumbling on myself.
No. What in my, you know, I'm a very sarcastic person, so we're going to have to narrow this down a little bit. Specifically, what sarcasm are you talking about?
Well, I guess, like, to make
my comment about people either are going to have to sell drugs, go to prison, or catch bullets, that's sarcasm?
No, not necessarily. Okay. I mean, I'm thinking about, like, well, I guess, like I said, I'm kind of stumbling on myself, and now that I've opened this up, I don't really know where to start again. So let me just kind of start from a different angle.
Okay.
And let me apologize for just kind of being obtuse, but I would like to make a proposition. I live in this city, and... Earlier, another thing that just kind of struck a nerve when you were talking about the Hypermart kind of dissolving.
Right. Sure.
It didn't really dissolve. There's another Walmart right down 3350 Highway, just a stone's throw. There's another Walmart right down I-70, maybe another mile away. Then nothing went away. It just kind of separated.
Right.
And that's just the community that I live in. And
well, I mean,
I guess
it used to be Bannister Mall.
I'm kind of stringing along because I'm a little bit nervous. But part of the reason I'm a little bit nervous is because I want to do something because I really want to do something.
Right.
So I'm asking you, as somebody that's just kind of an anonymous caller, someone who's never really called in before, someone who's listened. Remember the guy that used to talk about the problem with the world was traffic lights. He said that so much gasoline was wasted on red lights.
Sure.
And he used to sit around in red lights and wait till they turned green. I don't know. I used to listen to all this stuff. But all I want is to maybe you've been doing this for such a long time. Maybe you've heard so many people kind of call in with their ideas that there's a time for a change. And, like, I could kind of bring up this particular case that was going on with Florida. Like, I really thought something serious was going to happen if it went a certain way. And it went a certain way and nothing happened.
Right.
And it's like, I believe that there's a lot of people out there like me. And, like, kind of some of the sarcasm and whatever kind of brought me out to make this phone call, and I apologize for my kind of awkwardness and whatnot. It's never really been my nature to do this kind of thing.
Sure.
But, please, create a... Well, let me say this.
You're saying that you want me to speak more positively.
I don't really want... Well, what I would really like is an assignment.
Nice.
Because there's a lot of people out there, and I believe this, and I'm really not someone that likes to speak for a lot of people, because just the other day I had a great conversation about Kansas City barbecue sauce, but someone said it was defined by this category, and I was like, holy cow, you have no idea about this, because if you think it's defined by this, you need to go two streets down, it's defined by that. You can't throw a rock without somebody having their own flavor. There's a lot of people that have passion.
Right, right, right.
There's just all these different things. And, like, not to jump back and forth too much and digress too far, I believe there's a lot of race that's being instigated in our...
Right now in this country?
Injected in our reality because it's politics coming up. And there's something serious that's about to happen. I just feel it, man. And, like, people are going to be fed reasons to hate. But they're going to need to look deep down inside and realize that they don't have that kind of beef. It's like when you get in an argument and you get in an argument and you're fighting and you're going on and you're going on. You just say, hey, hang on a second. I'm upset because my cheeseburger has onions on it? Hold up. For real? That's why we're fighting so hardcore?
I guess I did need to call the police because my cheeseburger had onions on it.
No. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, like, that's a very diluted metaphor, but, like...
No, literally, people have called the police.
There's a lot of force-fed hatred that's going to be injected in our reality. And the divided society is much more easier to control than a united society. And there's a reason for all this. And all I'm asking for you, I mean, just kind of as a favor, maybe just as a joke, humor me. Give me an assignment.
You know, something that I've been struggling to figure out, and I think this is the big one, is... If the problem we have ultimately right now is that we have a Federal Reserve Bank that has an unlimited purse that can write checks as big as, you know, the government needs to run military imperialism throughout the entire world, and we all fit into this model, we all fit into the economy of this imperial game, this control system, because we have to use Federal Reserve notes, you know. If you're supposed to boycott companies because you don't like their practices, how do we then go about boycotting the Federal Reserve? How can we monetize wealth? How can we, well, monetize is wrong. How can we measure and quantify wealth without using dollars, without using Federal Reserve notes? How can we figure that out?
Can I pause that question for a moment?
Sure.
And retort. I apologize. You're right.
Yeah, no, you're
you said it
right.
Was just me. It was just me and you talking, so I got sidetracked. But I forgot. But just the other day, I was listening to a particular radio station, and I live kind of downtown and then kind of the main street area, and the particular radio station I was listening to just so happened to report a shooting kind of a block away from where I was living, my apartment. And I turned to another radio station, and they tend to do the same type of news at the same type of times. And their particular news... was towards their target audience. And so, like, and I don't mean to get all elaborate from your question about finances and bills and taxes and stuff like that, but part of me thinks the people have more problems of looking at who we are as brothers and sisters before we can start deciding as a group how we feel. And so that's kind of a weird sentence to kind of go back about my radio station comment, but like one particular radio station was porting this particular news because their target audience happened to occupy this particular type of the city, but I switched to this radio station and they have nothing, no who comes, no wheres, no nothing about it. And there's a weird type of it's not diditerated epistemerated. It's a weird type of racism, but it's not a type of segregation type of racism, but it's just a way that things are type of racism.
Well, demographically speaking,
kind of like that. Yeah, it's demographically, but at the same time, I'm poor too.
Let's work on another.
It's kind of demographically. It's kind of race. It's kind of social class. But even under poor social class is divided amongst that as well too. And it's so like we have so many things in common, but yet there are so many things wrong. So that's kind of what I'm saying is like.
Well, and
maybe this phone call is just too unprefaced, but.
Well, I kind of feel like I understand what you're saying. All these
like I have so many opinions about things, and I would love to rattle off my opinions about prison systems and the ideological systems and the Muslims and all this other stuff. I have ideas. Trust me, I have opinions, but I've listened to a lot of those. I've heard those for a lot of years. I want to present to you somebody who I know is very intelligent, somebody who I know is beyond this radio station, somebody who I know is a voice of reason. Let me just say this. If you provide an assignment to me, you'll have 15 people to do it. How about that for something weird to think about?
Well, you'd like to think. There's, you know, I said it's just me and you listening.
That's just my pessimistic thinking. Well, you're right.
I mean,
there might be 300.
Maybe.
I mean, you might, by providing these on-air assignments, you might keep people off drugs. Because I've heard of plenty of them on drugs on this radio station.
Sure. Yeah, most of them. Just
and so, like,
drugs,
you know people are committed. And that's part of the reason why I don't want to see you turn cynical. I don't want to see you hate the people that you are trying to communicate to. You're trying to talk to these people, and I don't want to see them belittle them at the very same time and saying, who's going to call in? Who has the answer to the question? Does anybody even listen? Who's out there? I have one listener at this moment. Can somebody call in? Well, somebody happens to know that the answer is immigrant workers. Well, I'm sorry, I didn't watch Jeopardy. I don't happen to know anything about immigrant workers. I even know about real life. I live in real life.
Right.
And if you want my opinions about that stuff, I'll tell you my opinions about that stuff. But, like,
Hold on. Well, that's good. I wasn't trying to belittle you. I realize sometimes.
No, I understand it.
Because I don't know you, man. And you got to realize that sometimes it's a lot easier to do a call-in radio show when people are actually calling in. That makes it just.
Yeah.
It makes it work better. But
and there's a way to get people to call in too, and
so
know
let's start with a let's start with a simpler homework assignment then. Than trying to figure out how to overcome the Federal Reserve, because that's kind of the big one. I've been working on that, and I haven't figured it out yet.
Exactly. I need some. You need some more disciples first.
Right.
And
I apologize for
this kind of cynicism.
I'm glad you've opened
please,
up. You're
please
right.
Don't continue unless you're serious.
I don't think you're going to be afraid of calling radio stations again. You shouldn't.
No,
anyway.
I mean, please don't continue this dialogue unless you're serious.
No, I am serious. Yeah, I'm serious.
Because it may actually get seen through, and
humor
there
is
may
important.
Actually be another step.
Okay, so we're talking about how damaged everything is, essentially.
No,
Yeah, that's kind
we're
of what
we're talking about how
no, no, that's
we need to we need to unite things.
Right.
To say things are damaged is to it's like saying oh,
let's,
we need to approach